Normally, I would say, kids, you can be dismissed, but I don't think that slide's not there. And so, welcome to our service, young people. Pastor Derek shared with me yesterday, reminded me yesterday that we would have the kids in the service, and I thought to myself, well, maybe this is the service I need to preach Donald Duck in, right? Huh? You know, the entire service? But then I thought, no, that'd be a bit of a distraction. I've got Bree's attention, though, when I said that. She was like, do it, Pastor Phil. Come on, you can do it. But it is definitely going to be different for all of us, but I think very healthy as we consider just doing life together and as a church family. I want to give a shout out to Pastor Derek, because of course he wouldn't do that himself as far as laboring. You should see the project up in, and before you leave today, maybe you can peek up in there. But this room that used to be his office has been totally transformed. There's still some transformation that needs to take place tomorrow, but many people have come and painted, and we built some cabinetry in there, and there's some more cabinetry to be built. But Pastor Derek's kind of spearheaded that. Thankful for Daniel and Luke the other day. They came and did a lot of the grunt work. And I just went to Daniel and I said, hey, I need you at 8 a.m. on whatever day that it was. I think it was Wednesday morning. Hey, I need you 8 a.m. And he goes, for what and how long? And I says, oh, you'll see. And I think it was noon or 1 o'clock that they finally finished up. And just thankful for all of their support and help in that process. Well, this morning we are finishing up our series today on doing life together. We spent a lot of time in the book of Acts looking at the devotion in Acts 2 and just the commitment that the early church had for one another. And then we transitioned over here to Acts 20, and we've seen Paul and how he was doing life, and the way that he did life was done in community for him. Life was done in community for him, and it was something that he was very passionate about just keeping a group of people close together to him and supporting and helping. We also learned that life was done on mission and very missional minded, that it was always about other people and spreading the gospel to those other people. And then last week we talked about how it was done with protecting the integrity of the gospel. And that's how life was done. And this morning, we're really going to answer this question for a final time. The one thing that we can learn is that life is done considering others. And I was thinking originally I was going to put in there, life is done for the sake of others. But really this is a concluding message of probably everything that we've studied this summer from Acts 2 into this point today, where it's a sensitivity and an awareness of what is going on around us. And we're going to see that in our text today. But that gave me a thought here this morning as I was thinking about the sacrifice that the teachers have made for all of those weeks, and we've allowed them to come in here. But one of the things we're passionate about as a ministry is that we take care of the kids during this service time. And the reason is to give the parents the ability to pay attention and to really interact with the Word. And so I thought, you know what, we need to be considerate to the parents that are in the room and thinking about the kids and everything. So I text Pastor Derek this morning and I said, hey, could you print me off some coloring pages? And I went to Walmart this morning and I bought 22 boxes of crayons. And I thought, we're going to let the kids enjoy some coloring pages and crayons. And so if you're K through 5th grade and you want to color, how about you raise your hand? And I got some guys in the back that are going to pass out the crayons and coloring books. You know, even if you're, I'm not going to say it. K through 5th grade, I'm going to leave it at that. Because I saw Lance raise his hand back there, and I thought, man, have you really went that far? No. But anyway, we really want to be considerate, too, and be sensitive and aware. And that's really what we want to see here from our text this morning. So why don't you take your Bibles and turn to Acts 20. I think this could also be one of those messages that if you want to interact with your young person that's in the room, that it's definitely possible to do. Maybe you need a bulletin, and you didn't get a bulletin, and we could definitely raise your hand if you didn't get a bulletin and you'd like to help and work your child through what we do here on Sunday mornings. So as we think about this considering, life is done considering others. I've already alluded to it, but It really means to regard with respect or take into account. It's thoughtfulness, or another way of looking at it would be honoring. I don't want this to be mistaken with being polite. I think that we can be considerate to somebody and open the door for them. I think we can be considerate to somebody and maybe provide them with some extra funds, and we're going to kind of see that here today. But it's not about being polite as much as it is about seeing the needs of people and understanding what those needs are. And I think that Paul has done a masterful job in this section of Scripture to really unfold who he was as a person. He was this man that was so sensitive to what the Lord wanted, and he was so sensitive to what people needed. And he took what he wanted, the Lord wanted, and all of that education and teaching that he received, and he began to just pour that into the lives of people. And he was sensitive to the needs that were there. He considered what those people were facing and dealing with on a daily basis. As we think about this idea and we think about Paul, and not to be mistaken with this idea of being polite, but it's that understanding of an individual and what they're dealing with on a day-to-day basis. So here's a question for you. Have you ever faced somebody maybe at a store or in your home, I don't know, in your school that was ever rude to you, right? Have you ever walked into the Rakowski's Pharmacy and was anybody ever rude to you in there? I don't think so, because they know how to treat people and how to love people like God does. But we go into some places and those people are just downright rude. You ever experienced that before? Anybody want to share a story with me? No, probably not. But I have had that experience where I've went into a place and I'm interacting with this individual, and this individual is just nasty to me. And in the past, I've interacted with this person before, and in the past, this person's been very kind and cordial and all of these things, but now they're being nasty to me. And when somebody's nasty to you, how do you want to usually respond? I want to be nasty back to them. You know, what's your problem? What are you thinking in treating me this way? But I'm sensitive to that. For one reason, I don't want somebody to be frustrated or mad at me or think that I'm rude or anything like that. I want people to like me. And so my nature is that I'm not going to be nasty or rude back. In fact, the way God has equipped me is I'm super sensitive to, not always, you can ask my wife, I'm not always super sensitive, but I try to be super sensitive to what's going on in their lives. Have you ever asked that question? Man, this person, the way this person's treating me is not a good way, is rude, and I'm about ready to lash out. Or do you ever ask the question, I wonder what that person's dealing with in their life? Have you ever thought about that? I wonder what they're dealing with. And even asking maybe that question. What's going on? Why are you treating me or acting different today than you have in the past? Are you okay? What are you dealing with? This is that idea of being considerate. And it was the Apostle Paul that was acting considerate to these individuals here in the book of Acts. If we were to go through all of Paul's teachings and all of the things that he revealed to us here in the Scripture, we would see that he was a man that was considerate, very considerate, not just polite or kind, but was aware and understood what was going on in everybody's day-to-day lives. And his statements were ones of encouragement and of building up and were ones of the Lord. And so that whatever those people were dealing with, he would bring a sense of peace and comfort in a time of whatever they were facing. And see, everybody, it's interesting because in our world today, we have people that have great needs. We have people that are struggling in the day-to-day of life. And what Paul does here is he gives us a great example of how we can be considerate of other people, how we can be aware, and the things that we ought to do in order to support and help those people. And so this morning, as we work down through this text in Acts 20, we're going to begin in verse 32, and I want to read this for you right now, verses 32 through 35, and then we will start to get into some of the notes for you to fill in the blanks. So here we go. Acts 20, verse 32 begins with this, and it says, "And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities to those who were with me. In all things I have shown that by working hard in this way we must help the weak. And remember the words of Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Let us pray together. Father, I'm thankful for this opportunity that we have to learn from the Apostle Paul. For this summer, Lord, I'm thankful for the lessons that you have taught us as a congregation. I'm thankful for the lessons that you have taught me as a person. And that, Lord, we are to be doing life with one another. That it should be just a natural act in our lives. And God, I pray that you would continue to encourage and challenge us in this thought process. And that you would allow us to be a people that are prepared and have a great understanding of what you desire for us and the needs of the people around us, and that we can bring the two together and see lives changed for your honor and for your glory. And so, Lord, we commit this service to you. We commit this time. We're thankful for the young people to be a part of this service with us, to be able to listen and to hear the power of your word and how it can transform our lives each and every day. For we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Paul was considerate, okay? He was considerate to some individuals here in this text. And the people that he was considerate, and I'm going to just go by it based on the context and the word you that is in verse 32. He says in verse 32, and now I commend you, okay? The you that he's referring to is this group of people that he's meeting with. If you remember, it's the elders from Ephesus, and they're meeting in Miletus, and they're spending some time together. And so as he's interacting with these elders and communicating with these elders, he's trying to help them to be prepared for him to no longer be there. He said earlier in this passage of Scripture that he was going to be gone. He was going to go away. He's going to go to Jerusalem. And he says, you'll never see my face again. And so as Paul is on his way to Jerusalem and they'll never see him again, he wants to pour into them one final encouragement in his farewell. And so as he communicates and is considerate of these individuals, what we see here is that Paul commends them, it says in this passage. Or he gives them up. He gives them over. He entrusts them to. He turns them over. See, because Paul was no longer going to be there, who was going to support them? Who was going to be that encouragement to them? Who was going to pour into them? It was no longer Paul going to do that, but it was now their responsibility to kind of figure that out on their own. And see, Paul had a concern for what their needs were, and it was a spiritual need. Because if you remember from last week, we came off from this passage last week where we talked about these fierce wolves in 29 that were going to come in, and how these people from within their own group, these men were going to rise up in verse 30, and they weren't going to care about anybody, and they were just going to want to destroy and pull them away from the truth of the gospel and the understanding of what God wanted for their lives and their church. Paul, being aware of this, he's saying, you know what, I got to do something, so I'm going to give them over to, if we look in our text, he's going to give them over to God, and it also says, and he's going to give them over to the word of his grace. And you see, it's so critical for us to see this and the importance of elevating God in our lives and elevating the word of his grace in our lives. Because in order to take care of the spiritual needs that were going to rise up of these people coming in and being critical and attacking and trying to tear down this ministry, Paul knew the answer to these fierce wolves was in the spiritual problem that they were having. He knew the answer was going to be God and his word. He knew that God was big enough and in enough control that he was going to provide the help that was going to be needed. Paul knew that it was this book that was going to provide the guidance and direction. And even though Paul was no longer there, they were going to have this to fall back on and rely on and understand how this was going to give them strength and understanding. In fact, in our text, what Paul says here, continuing on in verse 32, he gives them over to God, and he gives them over to the Word because of the spiritual needs that existed as a result of the attacks that were coming to this church. And he goes on to say, it's God in the Word which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. It was this solution to the problem. I think about it from being sick, and I referred to Ray in the pharmacy, but man, there are times when I go to the doctor and I'm sick and I've got a problem and there's a great need the doctor is aware of what my problem is, and he helped to get me in order to make me well. And then I walk into Ray's pharmacy and Ray says, this is what he prescribed and here it is, and oh, take this and this is what it's going to do for you. And he gives me all that information, and it's like, you go home and you start popping those pills in, and it's like, yeah, now I feel a whole lot better. Anybody have ever experienced that before? Yeah. Because there was this great need, and there was these people that had concern, and they were aware of what was going on, and they began. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul's doing here. The Apostle Paul says there is a problem or potential problem that will exist because I'm going away, and there's all of these people that are going to try to pull you away from this truth. But my solution to the problem of the spiritual needs that exist is, he says, I'm going to give you over to God. I'm going to give you over to His Word so that you can be in a position to be strengthened, so that you can be in a position to connect with and understand this group of these sanctified individuals that have been set apart for the glory and for the honor of God. Paul being this man that was so sensitive to these people. You got to remember, he spent 3 years, 3 years with this church in Ephesus. Some of these people that he's interacting with here for the first time in a while, this is very emotional. This is a connection that he's saying, I just want you guys to be taken care of. Do you remember what we learned, though, about Paul in this process of him going? Do you remember that we learned that he was going to face great affliction and imprisonment, it says in verse 23? And yet the Apostle Paul wasn't consumed with his own problems, was he? The Apostle Paul was consumed for the people that were around him. He was sensitive, he was aware, he considered everybody else beyond himself. In fact, our text would go on to help us to see that it just wasn't the elders that he was concerned with, but it was also a group that he viewed as the weak. And I want you to jump down with me to verse 35, and we'll come back to 33 and 34, but jump down to 35 and we see this. He says, in all these things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. It was the Apostle Paul that saw the needs of people, not just their spiritual needs, but also their physical needs. And it was these physical needs of that was going to take some time and energy and some finances to take care of these physical needs that existed in the church, in the people that he was with. In fact, let's work a little bit backwards here, and let's go to now verse 34. Because we now see in verse 34, it says, you yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. I can only imagine it as he's interacting with these elders, and he says, and he's looking at him, and he says, and these hands right here. These, and could you imagine the calluses that were probably on his hand from his laboring, from his tent making, from his commitment to serving other people and not being a burden to other people financially. But he labored and he worked hard, the text said there in 35. And as he says, look at these hands, and it was these hands that did what? They took care of for the necessities, it says in verse 34. See, the Apostle Paul had needs, and the Apostle Paul worked and labored for those needs. But it just wasn't his needs that he was taking care of, because it continues to go on in verse 34 at the end. It said, to my necessities, and then also to those who were with me. So the Apostle Paul, as he's working and he's laboring, he's not just considering himself, but he's considering the entourage that is with him. He's considering the people that are there alongside of him. This last week, as Pastor Derek was up working in the new preschool room, and Luke and Daniel and were up there helping, and I had a conference call, a couple hour conference call that I had to take, and I had another appointment at 1 o'clock, and so I dropped the boys off, and of course Luke gave me a hard time because I wasn't laboring up there with them. Daniel, thank you for not picking on me because I wasn't up there laboring, but as Luke said that to me, you know, boy, Dad, it would have been nice for you to help as well. And well, son, you got to understand there's other things going on and this and that. But as I was about ready to leave, these guys were going to finish up some odds and ends, and Pastor Derek said, and then I'm going to take them to lunch. And I thought to myself, how funny would that have been if these guys would have labored and worked, and Pastor Derek would have said to them, you know, I appreciate all your guys' energy and all your guys' help. I'm going to go to the Blue Shamrock, and I'm going to go have some lunch. And before I do that, though, I'm going to take you guys and drop you guys off, right? And it would be like, I could just imagine Daniel and Luke be like, what? Who are we? You know, could we go with you? Can't we, all this? But instead, Pastor Derek says, I'm going to take these guys to lunch. I'm going to support them. I'm going to encourage them. I'm going to help them because of all of their labor and all of their energy that they've poured into us and for me here this morning. That was the attitude of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul wasn't in it for himself. The Apostle Paul wasn't just looking for his glory, wasn't looking for his honor, but he was looking for his God's glory and his God's honor. And because he had that kind of attitude, he then saw the needs of other people and was willing to pour into those people and invest in those people in whatever way possible for him to do so. For you note takers and you Bible perusers and you people that like to just interact with the text, there's a few passages that I want to give you that I just want you to jot down when it comes to this idea of working with the hands. Paul was a man that worked with his hands, and you could see that in 1 Corinthians 4:12. You could see that in 1 Corinthians 9:12. And you could see that in 1 Corinthians 9:15. And if you want to go even further, you just do a search on hands, Paul, and you're going to see a boatload of passages of Scripture that just continue to show Paul's amazing example of being a physical laborer, not for himself, but for the sake of other people. He was always about investing in the needs of others more than himself. A great example of that from our text. Look at verse 33 with me here. Again, we're kind of working backwards. But in verse 33, there were some things that motivated Paul in how he treated people. And the first thing that motivated Paul in the way that he was treating people is that he didn't covet no one's silver, gold, or apparel. And so Paul was this man that didn't look at what other people had and was like, boy, that's what I want. Boy, that's what I long for. He didn't look at other people's riches and pursue after those riches. But he was a minister that was willing to give himself and willing to give everything that he's labored for the sake of other people, instead of longing and desiring the earthly things that existed in this world. The other thing that strikes me in this passage is his attitude towards the earthly desires that he said, I don't want any part of. But the other thing that strikes me in the example that I think we need to follow is the last part of verse 35. As he says, we must help the weak. And he says, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said. Now, this isn't in the Sermon on the Mount, and this isn't something that I have found. The commentators have said it's not in any other part of the Scripture. The philosophy is, the understanding of it is, we see the example of it through Christ. But this next statement says this: it is more blessed to give than to receive. Does anybody have any examples of that in their lives? It is more blessed to give than to receive. Anybody want to share an example of that in their lives? This isn't about gloating or being prideful. No, this is so true. This is what happened in my life. Anybody? It is more blessed What about your, and I don't know the phrase, but the young lady that's in Haiti? Yeah, what about that? That situation, you gave, or were in the process of giving clothing to that individual to be that support. So what is the result of that in your being as a person when you're giving and not necessarily getting something in return? Joy? Okay, excellent. Anybody, is there an example of you doing this? Do we not do this? Are you too prideful, or you don't want to be prideful? Maybe is what about it? Go ahead. Yeah, and so why is it that we don't know that that's going to feel so good? Because we're a group of people that want. I want you to give to me. I want you to pour into me. I want you to take care of me. Where instead, folks, if we could pour into the lives of other people, there is so much joy that can come from that. There is so much fulfillment of what God has called us to be and what God has called us to do. It's number four in Coach Maxwell's High Five for Leadership, which is helpfulness. And the reason that it's helpfulness, helpfulness is there because that is the one thing that can bring so much hope in a world that is in so much turmoil, where we're so focused on the earthly things and we're missing the opportunity to take what the earth has offered us and to be able to pour in to the lives of other people. And when I say what the earth has offered us, I'm talking about your job, you know, the things that you do to be able to work with your hands and how that can be then an investment into the lives of other people. Folks, that's what our churches need to be changed in that thought process. We celebrate these people here in this room today because those people are sacrificial. For you ladies that Pastor Derek referred to, that 5 years ago we did this and you're still stuck with it, praise God for that. That is a huge commitment to say it is better for me to give and to receive. Now, are there moments that maybe you're like, I just want to be a part of the service today and I don't want to go upstairs and teach? I think there could be those moments in people's lives. But in the end, the fulfillment of really what God has called us to do is so much more rewarding than anything that we could receive in return or get in return. From a selfish standpoint. So how did Paul do this? How was Paul able to concentrate and be considerate to these individuals? Here's the first, and I've alluded to all three of these already in the message. He valued God more than himself. He valued God more than himself. How many times in our own lives do we think that we can figure something out on our own, or we think that we can figure something out on our own for somebody else? And it was the Apostle Paul here in this passage of Scripture that was willing to give up, or he commended them to God and to the Word. He knew that God was the answer to these people and what these elders and what they were going to deal with as he was going to move away from this relationship, this one-on-one relationship. He knew that God was the one that had the power and the ability to be able to take care of those individuals. We too need to get to this point where we see God as the answer to the struggles that exist. And as we're aware of needs that are going on around us, we got to know God has the answers to what these people are dealing with. Had multiple conversations this week in regards to that. Knowing that God is the solution to what those people are facing. They're trying to figure it out from a worldly perspective, but the answer is right here in this text. And Paul knew it and understood it. Secondly, he denied the worldly desires. He put others before himself. And it's that really comes down to that verse in verse 33, that he coveted no one's silver, gold, or apparel. It wasn't about clothing. It wasn't about how he looked. It wasn't if he fit into the fads that existed at that moment in time. It was really about how he could be an assistance to other people and the needs that existed. It wasn't about what he had. It wasn't all about the glitz and the glory. It was really about people and what God desired for him. And lastly, he sacrificed his time and his resources. Now, I've maybe expounded beyond just this passage of Scripture with this last statement. But as I look at this passage, I see that it was the Apostle Paul that he ministered to his own necessities and then also for the people that were with him. That is key. He saw the needs of other people and he really wanted to invest in those needs. And so the Apostle Paul gave up so much so that the truth of the Scripture would continue to go on into the rest of the world and influence and impact people. And so now as a group, here we are. We learn about Paul and we see that he was considerate of other people and he was sensitive to the needs that were going on in this church of Ephesus. Now, what about us? What do we do with all of this now? My first question that I have for you is, who are the people that need to be considered in your life? Who are the people that need to be considered? So what I'm referring to here is how many of you know people in your life that have physical needs? Yes? Well, all of us probably do. How many of us in our lives know somebody that has spiritual needs, right? Probably every single one of us in our lives. I challenge you right now to write that name down of that person in your notes, okay? Write that name down of that person that you know that has a physical need or a spiritual need, okay? So now you're really getting sensitive here. And you're putting yourself where Paul was. Because Paul, as he's interacting with these people, he's seeing the needs of the elders and he's seeing the needs of the weak. Okay? And so Paul's sensitive to it. He's got a name and a face and all of that. I challenge you to do that. Okay? So who is that person that you're aware of that has a physical or maybe a spiritual need? Okay? So now the second question as we kind of wrap this series up. What role does God play in what those needs are of those people? Okay, so now you're thinking about this person and this person's name, and you're thinking about the situation they're dealing with, and you're very intimate with that person, and so you know what's going on. What role? And I guess how I want to elaborate on this a little bit more is there a specific truth about God that could help the person? Think about that. Is there a specific truth about God that could help the person? And if so, write it down. Okay? I think that this truth right here, and you could take, obviously, a lot more time with this and pray about it and process it. But there's this person that has a need, and then there's a truth about God. And so write the truth about God down that could be a support to this physical need or maybe this spiritual need. Because as we read the Apostle Paul throughout the Scriptures, the Apostle Paul had a lot of great answers for a lot of situations, right? I mean, he just knew. I mean, again, he's moved by the Holy Spirit, but he had a solution according to God for the things that people were dealing with and struggling with. Now, let me ask you this question as you're thinking about writing that truth down. Are you struggling with maybe a truth? And are you struggling because you either don't know the situation well, or you don't know God well, and you're not in tune with what His Word has to say and how you could speak to helping the people that are around you and the struggles that are going on? Because it's one thing to consider the people that we're around, but it's another thing to walk with those people as we consider them. And see, the Apostle Paul was very considerate, not just fixing somebody, but walking and helping with those individuals. That's the key to doing life together. It's about walking with people and not just fixing people. Last question that I have. Again, I think what we're about ready to do in this ministry in the weeks and months to come is going to help really in these last two points of the what now. I think the who needs to be considered means you just got to take some time and think through a person in your life, okay? Who needs to be considered? But what we're wanting to do with our Sunday nights and what we're wanting to do with our growth groups, I think that these next 2 points, really what we're about ready to do, are going to help with this. The last one is, what role do you play? And here's my challenge to you. You wrote down a name and you potentially wrote down a truth. My third challenge for you this morning is share with this person this truth about God. Share with this person this truth about God and then walk with them to help them through this process. Because it's one thing to have the knowledge of the need, and it's another thing to have the great understanding of the truth of God and His Word. But then it's another thing for us to take those two together and play a very specific and honest role in walking with those individuals. And so are you in a position of being considerate? Are you in a position to be helpful? Or are you just going through life as an individual, not concerned and not sensitive to the rest of the people around you? And or are, is your sensitivity to those people around you just on the surface, and you may be hurt for them, but you don't have a solution to the problems that they're struggling and dealing with in their lives? If we are going to be a church that does life together God's way, then we must be a church in a group of individuals that are striving to understand and know people, and striving to know and understand God. And I don't mean to put those in any certain specific order, but we are to build relationships with God, and we're to build relationships with one another. So says our banners that are up there. It's a connect to God, a connect to one another. And it is the early church in Acts 2 that set that great example for us to be a people that come together and encourage one another and love one another and help work through the process so we can become the strongest body of Christ that we possibly can for His honor and for His glory. That's the goal here, folks. And so I encourage you, as we make some announcements and try to get you plugged into certain areas, I encourage you to tap in, tie in, so that we can be that church that God's called us to be according to the book of Acts 2 and according to Paul's example in Acts 20. Let's pray.